Backseat Box Office, episode number 193, for the weekend of June 6th through June 8th.
Hey, this is Jeff.
And this is Art.
And we are the Backseat Producers, and you are listening to Backseat Box Office. How's it going, Art?
It's going good. Can't complain.
All right. Well, since there's not a whole lot of complaining to go on here, let's talk about how the box office did last week. So, at number one, we had Maleficent with a gross of $69.4 million. At number two, we had X-Men Days of Future Past with a gross of $32.6 million. At number three, we had A Million Ways to Die in the West with a gross of $16.8 million. At number four, we had Godzilla, that came in with a gross of $16.8 million. And at number five, Blended with a gross of $8.14 million. And, oh, I didn't have open, and I think that's all I had. Oh, no, I have to talk about Neighbors. Neighbors came in at number six with a gross of $8.1 million. And those are the six movies that figured into everybody's picks. So, Art, why don't you tell us how everybody did?
Well, I would be happy to tell you how everybody did, because, Jeff, my friend, you got a 25. But not only did you get a 25, but Britt copied you for a 25. Well, she didn't really copy you. She just didn't copy me, and she got a 25. We have Cougaron, who got the top four all in the right order, and then put Neighbors in the fifth spot, costing a single point for a 24. I flip-flopped X-Men Days of Future Past and Maleficent, costing me 3 points for a total of 22. And we have a voicemail from Nick.
Hi, this is Nick. Number one, I'm going with X-Men. Two, Godzilla. Three, Maleficent. Four, Million Ways to Die in the West. Five, Blended. Thank you.
Nick, thank you for that voicemail. So, he also kept X-Men Days of Future Past in the number one spot, costing him 2 points. He put Godzilla in the number two spot, costing him another 2 points. Maleficent in the number three spot, costing him two more points. A Million Ways to Die in the number four spot, costing him a point. And Blended in the right spot, and he came up with a total of 18. That is how everybody did.
All right. So, how about the leaderboard?
So, on to the leaderboard. Britt, with her 1 week of participation and a 25, has skyrocketed to the top of the leaderboard. My life could not be getting any worse.
Oh, then it's worse than me being in second place.
I am going to have to show her the webpage where her name is going to be number one with 25. I will point out the little asterisk that says she hasn't participated, you know, enough weeks to get rid of the asterisk, but still, it's going to hurt when I show it to her. Jeff, you are in second place with 23.125 points. Wow, that's really drilling down on it there. Kuron is in third with 23 points. BD is in fourth with 22 points. Nick is in fifth with 21.1 points. I am in 6th with 20.8, Tad is in 7th with 20 points, and Scuba Dave is in 8th with 19 points.
Yes, and I believe that BD and Scuba Dave are in danger of dropping out.
Falling off the list, okay.
So, guys, if you're listening to this, just send us your picks. Finish out the season strong.
Yep, there's still time.
All right, so thanks for reading the individuals and the leaderboard. So now we can talk about Art's House.
Yes.
We had three entries last week, and I will mention them in the order in which they came in as far as dollar amount. Art, with Night Moves, came in with an average of $12,050. Under the Electric Sky, picked by Father Beast, came in at $4,124. And then My Movie Filth came in with $2,509. So, with Art picking the highest average movie, gets a point. So, he is now in first place with 5 points. I am one behind in second, and Father Beast is at 1 point. So, the plot thickens.
Yes.
Okay, and we can talk about the contest standings. We have a new, I don't know what you want to say, warrior on the mesa?
Sure, that's good.
Okay, so we have Brittany got her first entry into the hat. So now we have, the standings are Kugron has 5, Nick has 3, BD has 1, and Brittany has 1. So yeah. So we'll see who's gonna take that down.
Yeah, we will see. And
in about 3 weeks.
And I was talking with Brittany about, you know, because I drew the name from the hat and I had no dog in that race last time, and I said, you know, I'm gonna have to pass this off. Well, her idea was to shoot it as a video, and just do a video where everything is laid out. You can see everything that goes into the hat, see one thing come out randomly from the hat, and then she would post that video on her YouTube. And hopefully that might drive some traffic our way, because she has at this point 15 videos, and of the 15 videos, 7 of them have over 100 views.
Wow.
And one of them, I think, is over 200, and the other one's closing in on 200. So they will say this, you know, people will see this is a drawing for a contest, and maybe we'll get some more participants. We'll see what happens. So, but that is how I think we're going to do that, and just video the whole thing and then get it put up on YouTube where more people will see it.
Cool. That sounds exciting. We'll have to, we'll see how that works out. All right, so that's it talking about what happened last week. So now we can talk about new movies come out in the theater.
Yes.
So, Art, why don't you tell me about one of the two movies that comes out this week?
I will. I'm going to tell you about The Fault in Our Stars. Rated 75% fresh on the tomato meter, 28 reviews counted, 21 fresh, 7 rotten. 96% out of 33,600 people want to see it. Hazel and Gus are two extraordinary teenagers who share an exotic wit, a disdain for the conventional, and a love that sweeps them and us on an unforgettable journey. Their relationship is all the more miraculous given that they met and fell in love at a cancer support group. The Fault in Our Stars is based upon the number one selling best-selling novel by John Green. Explores the funny, thrilling, and tragic business of being alive and in love. Rated PG-13, 2 hours and 5 minutes. Directed by Josh Boone, written by Scott Nostetter and John Green. Starring Shailene Woodley, Willem Dafoe, Laura Dern, and I don't know any of those other people. I think Ansel Elgort is Gus, but I do not know who that is. And I don't see any other names I recognize. How about you?
I recognize Mike Birbiglia.
Okay.
He's a stand-up comedian, and he has his own almost autobiographical movie called Sleepwalk With Me about his struggles with sleepwalking.
Oh, okay.
And I hear is very funny. I haven't watched it, but that's, I recognize his name.
Okay.
And I had no idea that he was in this series of a movie.
Right.
But yeah, you know, my daughter is really, really, really excited about going to see this.
Shailene Woodley, she is
Divergent.
And
The Descendants.
But also, I thought she was on that show with Molly Ringwald and drama. I'm totally blanking. I've watched the show. Secret Life of the American Teenager, I think.
I
could be totally wrong about that.
You don't think that's her? I don't think that's her.
Okay.
I don't think she's done TV.
Okay, well, moving on.
Moving on. All right. So let's talk about something a little more, I'm going to go on a limb here and say more male-oriented. And let's go with Edge of Tomorrow. 90% on the tomato meter. 90% with Tom Cruise.
Interesting. Yeah. All right. That is interesting.
Out of 82 reviews, 74 fresh, 8 rotten. Out of the audience and of 62,194 registered Rotten Tomato users, 97% want to see it. So here's the description. The epic action of Edge of Tomorrow unfolds in a near future in which an alien race has hit the Earth in an unrelenting assault, unbeatable by any military unit in the world. Major William Cage, Tom Cruise, is an officer who has never seen a day of combat when he is unceremoniously dropped into what amounts to a suicide mission. Killed within minutes, Cage now finds himself inexplicably thrown into a time loop, forcing him to live out the same brutal combat over and over, fighting and dying again and again. But with each battle, Cage becomes able to engage the adversaries with increasing skill alongside Special Forces warrior Rita Vrataski, played by Emily Blunt. And as Cage and Rita take the fight to the aliens, each repeated encounter gets them one step closer to defeating the enemy. PG-13, 1 hour and 53 minutes. It is a drama, science fiction, and fantasy, directed by Doug Liman, also starring Bill Paxton, Brendan Gleeson. Why does that name sound familiar? Harry Potter, right? He was in Harry Potter.
Not ringing any bells for me, but I'm terrible with names.
That's right. No, he was not in Harry Potter. He was in the Smurfs too. No, he wasn't Harry Potter. Mad-Eye. Character played Mad-Eye. Okay. So, yeah, that was fascinating. Okay. It's scaring me, but even from the geek movie websites, they're loving this movie.
This movie looks interesting. I mean, this looks really good. And this is, I feel like this is somebody's attempt at kind of making a... some of the imagery really makes me think of, like, Warhammer 40K.
Yes. And yes, I was just trying to think of, like, you know, they borrowed a little bit of source code, a little bit of Groundhog Day, but I'm trying to think of the third ingredient in this little recipe, and I can't think of a, you know, an action epic that, you know, that is comparable to what we see on here. Terminator, maybe?
Yeah.
Terminator Salvation? I don't know. But,
No, I'm going, it's Groundhog Day meets Warhammer 40K. That's what it is.
I might be temporarily lifting my ban on Tom Cruise movies and trying to go see those.
I did not realize you had a ban, sir.
No, I'm done with Tom Cruise as an action star.
Okay.
I think I've seen every trick this dog can do.
Okay, I think.
But you know, I could be very wrong. I'm an Emily Blunt fan.
Right. From the moment I first saw this trailer, I was like, I need to see that movie. I was interested. Whether or not they execute well, I don't know, but I'm interested.
Yeah, I wasn't sure about this one just based on the trailer. Just because, you know, Oblivion was kind of looked similar to this, and that did not do
right.
That did not do well, even though I kind of judged it without seeing it. So, but
I wanted to see it. I just didn't want to see it bad enough, so I never went out of my way. So it just kind of flew by. So yeah, but this one I could see going to see it.
All right, and with those two movies, that concludes all the movies that are coming out in wide release.
Well, one quick interjection. Mm-hmm. The star of The Fault in Our Stars is from The Secret Life of the American Teenager.
Really?
Yes.
I was not aware of that.
Yeah, so that's probably part of the reason why. But yeah. I don't know if your daughter has ever watched that show.
No.
Okay.
No, that's she... Her
purely divergent, or
her fervor for watching this movie is completely based on that she's read the book.
Oh, okay.
All of her friends at school read the book together, and she can't wait to see the movie. I don't think that she has undying loyalty for Shailene Woodley.
Okay.
The last book she read before that was Divergent, and we went to go see Divergent.
Okay.
And it was actually kind of weird because in Divergent, the same actor that plays her lover in The Fault in Our Stars plays her brother in Divergent.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there's that. All right. So now that we are done with new movies, we can get to the actual game part of the show, and we can get to picks.
Yep.
So, I guess I got a 25, so I got to go first.
Yeah, I guess you do.
All right. So, I guess I'm honoring the memory of Lena.
Wait.
Him and Ha about going first. Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No. I have picks here from Brittany. She is higher on the leaderboard. I would more than happily read those picks to you first.
No. I believe we'd have to go the tape on who got their picks in first last week.
Okay. Well, you go ahead.
Considering we're kind of going to keep it with the hosts.
That's
fine. I'll go first.
I'm just jerking your chain a little bit.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Go ahead.
At number one, The Fault in Our Stars.
Okay.
Because I don't need any more evil eyes for my daughter at this point. At number two, I'm going to go ahead and put Edge of Tomorrow.
Okay.
At number three, we will put Maleficent. At number four, I'm going to do X-Men 2, Days of Future Past. And at number five, I'm going to do A Million Ways to Die in the West. And for my Arts House pick, I've been hearing some great buzz about this movie Obvious Child. It's a comedy, but that's all I really know about it. I think it was at some film festival and it won like some governor's award or something like that. So I'm going with Obvious Child and locking in a zero next week.
Okay, well, I have heard your picks. I know what my picks are, and I've seen Brittany's picks. These are all different picks.
All right, good.
So this will be interesting. Okay, I'm going to give you my picks first because I am a host.
Okay.
And we'll give you hers after. So I am going with Edge of Tomorrow in the number one spot. I am going with Maleficent in number two, The Fault in Our Stars at number three, X-Men at number four, and A Million Ways to Die in the West at number five. And for my Arts House, I'm going with Trust Me. Because of Agent Coulson.
Oh, okay.
And now Brittany's picks are, she is going with Maleficent at number one, with a loved it and two exclamation points and three underlines. she saw it this past weekend.
Oh, okay. Voicemail.
She is talking about calling in a voicemail. I told her she needs to.
Okay.
And so we're lining that up. So we should have a review of Maleficent soon. Edge of Tomorrow in the number two spot. The Fault in Our Stars in the number three spot. X-Men in the number four spot. And A Million Ways to Die in the West in the fifth spot. So basically me and her have similar picks to last week, only with flip-flopping of one and two, where she's keeping faith in the previous week, and I am keeping faith in the new week. Whereas last week, it was the opposite. So we'll see. I'll probably get burned again.
Okay, and I totally forgot that Trust Me was coming out this week.
Ah.
I actually, actually talked about that movie on when he was on a Nerdist podcast.
Oh, okay.
A while back. It's amazing. Ever since they got bought out by Legendary, I think they had Morgan Freeman was on their last one.
So oh, nice.
They're just getting all kinds of
big
names.
Big names, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so.
The thing that scares me about Trust Me, it's A Star Is Media. So.
Yeah, well, you never know.
No, you never know, but I mean.
You never know. Especially when it doesn't show how many screens it's going to be on.
Right, but so is it going to very quickly release onto Stars? And not really do that much in the theater? We'll see what happens. But, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm saying it's just the thing that scares me a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at Box Office Mojo and go there, I think there's they should show all their other movies that they've distributed, and there isn't this is their only one. So that's kind of weird. All right. So, that's it for the picks and all of the business that we get through every week. So now we can talk about movies or TV that we watched. So, Art, watch anything last week?
You know, it was a really slow week. I have been working 10-hour days just about every day, and I don't think I watched anything. No, I can't think of a single new thing that I watched. I didn't catch up on any television. I watched nothing. Zero, zip, nada.
Okay.
I sent Brittany to the movies to watch Maleficent, and she loved it. But we talked about that already. So, how about yourself?
Well, let me ask you a follow up question to Brittany. Are you guys very similar on movie tastes?
No, Brittany mostly doesn't like movies.
Interesting.
Yeah, there's like very specific things she'll want to go see, but mostly no. It's like if it has some tie-in to something else she's watching, or if it's a book that she's read, or. But yeah, mostly no. The only reason she went to see Maleficent was that a friend of hers was going to see it, and so a friend wanted company, so she went along. And, you know, she really enjoyed it. You know, when she finds a movie that she likes, she really enjoys it. But it's like, it's very rare. Something really has to grab her to hold her attention during the entirety of the film. So it's like she runs either hot or cold. So either she really, really loves it, or she just doesn't care at all. And there's kind of no in between.
Okay. Okay, well, let me tell you about a movie that I watched last week that I got from the library. That's right next door to my work. I realized that I've been told that there are big gaps in my movies that I've watched, and so I just went to the comedy section at the library and I just went A to Z, and I almost picked Animal House, but I end up landing on a movie that came out, I think, last year or a year before that, Cedar Rapids. Cedar Rapids is it's a movie that you would expect Steve Carell to be in, but they ended up casting Ed Helms as an insurance salesman who gets sent to the big convention in Cedar Rapids and quickly gets in over his head. So there are shades of Hangover in this movie. But I really enjoyed it. Don't expect a big rip-roaring comedy if you're going to watch it. It also has John C. Reilly.
Okay.
You know, Wreck-It Ralph.
Yeah.
As kind of the party animal character Ziegler. Anne Heche is in it. A surprisingly seductive Anne Heche because I never really enjoyed her work. But she was good in this movie. And a couple other of lesser-known actors were good in it. Wasn't too long. I did have a freak-out moment when the hotel streetwalker shares the same name as my daughter's name. So that was kind of weird. But I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. There was a good chunk of the movie where there is drug use. And I don't, I always think that there, you don't have to have drug use to tell, have a funny movie. But
right.
But that, but that's just my curmudgeonness. All right. So, and that was the only movie that I watched last week. So I kind of came back to earth a little bit when I watched Four the week before.
Right.
I did discover a new sitcom, Undateable. It's on Thursdays on Channel 4. I don't know if it's on the 8:30 time slot or 9 o'clock time slot. It is a typical run-of-the-mill sitcom. It is not reinventing the wheel, but I do enjoy the cast. Chris D'Elia, who was the boyfriend of Whitney Cummings on Whitney.
Oh, I liked him. I like that show a lot.
He's one of the two main characters. He's kind of the cool one, and his roommate's kind of the nerdy one, and he's got three friends. Bianca Kalich, who was the female engaged couple in Rules of Engagement. She okay. also plays his older sister. So it's probably going to be canceled in about 2 weeks, but I still enjoyed it. So, that's what I'm watching on movies and TV. So, now that we're done with the old share time, now we can get the fedoras on and let's go for some news here. So, Art, do you want to go first or shall I?
You go ahead and go first, because I'm still writing Undateable.
All right.
Whitney boyfriend.
All right, so here's two quick blurbs about hiring of directors. Josh Trank, who directed Chronicle, and is also attached to the upcoming Fantastic Four reboot, even though I heard that's been killed. So I guess it's not dead yet. But he's being signed on to direct a Star Wars movie. So I think I just failed a little bit because there's another director that got tapped to direct a Star Wars movie. I can't remember his name. I remember who he is. The guy who did Godzilla. I think Gareth Edwards is going to. So they have two directors for Star Wars. So they're just getting the factory. They're just getting that conveyor belt going. And the other casting news. And I think you're going to enjoy this one more. And let me scroll so I can find it. They have a director for Doctor Strange.
Okay.
Yeah, it looks like I lost it. So Art, why don't you tell me your new story, and I'll come back with the title here.
Okay.
With the name.
Will Smith drops out of sci-fi franchise star Brilliance. So I don't know if you remember us talking about this one with Naomi Rapace,
mm-hmm.
where the brilliant are those who have unlocked some super potential. So apparently he has dropped out. So the blockbuster is now without its star. I thought the story sounded interesting. I really enjoy Naomi Rapace. And Will has not really been doing all that much for me lately. So I'm not really crying about this one. I mean, we've got to get somebody in there, I think, to draw people, because sci-fi typically doesn't do well. I mean, unless it, really has something pushing it. So I just thought that was interesting that he's out, and I'm not really broken up.
Okay, so the director that they got for Doctor Strange is Scott Derrickson. Are you familiar with Scott Derrickson?
And I don't know him by name. What has he done?
Okay, well, I was just using that to lead into what he's done The Exorcism of Emily Rose, which did $144 million worldwide.
Yeah.
He did Sinister. Yep. And he has a movie coming out, Deliver Us From Evil, which comes out July 2nd, that has Eric Bana and Olivia Munn. So basically what we're saying is he's a horror director.
Okay.
So they're going
to... Well, I could definitely see you going that direction with a Doctor Strange movie.
Right.
You know, definitely make it more of an occult, you know, as opposed to a, you know, magical superhero, giving a very occult feel.
Yeah, and they're speculating that they could very well release news of the entire cast of Doctor Strange at Comic-Con.
Okay.
Which is in a month and a half.
Month and a half, okay. Duly noted.
All right. So wait, do you want to go next, what else you got?
Okay, so Sean Austin says Goonies 2 will be magic like the first one. So, this is a comment from a recent Reddit AMA, Ask Me Anything, apparently somebody's in talks. I mean, the rumor was back in April that there was a follow-up to Goonies in the works. Not much is known about the planned sequel. They're still talking about getting director Richard Donner back. Steven Spielberg would be a producer. So we'll see if anything happens with this. But that is a movie from my childhood that I watched over and over and over again. And I will still, if it is on, just let it play.
Me too. Me too. It's another movie they should just leave it alone. But, you know.
But you know what? That's not the world we live in anymore.
No, I understand that. Well, just because, you know.
They will make their money just on the people who go to see it for the nostalgia.
Right.
So, yeah. But, I know. But I agree with you. I agree with you. But like I said, we don't live in that world. Sequels make more money.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Now we're going to get a little more odd with the news, or at least this story is. And it has to do with Frozen. Art, have you watched Frozen enough?
No, because you know what? It mostly plays when I'm not home. I don't know if Brittany has watched Frozen enough.
So apparently,
wife, I could watch it again.
She could watch it some more. She likes it. She likes it a lot. So,
well, apparently, there's a couple in Japan that is divorcing because of Frozen.
There's what? Tell me more.
Okay, so apparently, there's this 29-year-old Japanese woman that has watched Frozen enough times where she almost has it memorized. No, she does have it memorized. So she asked her 31-year-old husband to watch it. So they can share the joy together. And so after he watched it, she said, "Honey, what'd you think?"
Oh no!
And to borrow a line from Despicable Me, "Eh, it's an okay movie, I guess, but I didn't really care for it personally. Do you really think it's that good?" And her quote, they have her quote here. If you can't understand what makes this movie great, there's something wrong with you as a human being. I want a divorce.
Wow.
Okay, so how did we find out about this? Well, apparently there's a Japanese website that translates to the gravesite of married people. It's basically a website where people that have gotten married but has not gone well, this is a website where they can go and, I guess, express themselves.
Yes, the airing of grievances.
Yes, Festivus or not Festivus.
Right.
So, apparently, the thing that they don't have any kids. That's the thing. Usually when you're watching Frozen, it's because, you know, it's something to watch with your kids. But there's another detail in the story about how, I think it's adapted from a Danish fairy tale. Because I guess over in Japan, the title of the movie is Anna and the Snow Queen.
Oh, okay.
And this woman, I guess she had a master's in Danish literature. So she was predisposed to love it anyways.
She is
and predisposed to being extremely angry when not everyone else loves it. So yeah, this is just insane people that had to deal with Frozen. So anyways, that's the end of that story. So Art, what do you have next? And I have one more.
Okay. All right. Well, I've got this one. This was just a title that caught my eye. Haven't even looked at the story because the title really says it all. X-Men: Days of Future Past is now the highest grossing X-Men movie.
Yeah. You see it?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
I really can't say anything, man.
I'm going to try and see it this weekend. But I've heard people talking about it who really enjoyed it. You know, they felt like it was a good follow-up to the other movies, you know, to continue on the franchise. I've heard them talk about how they've cleaned some things up because of the whole, you know, time travel, blah, 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 blah. So I'm really, really interested to see it. So the next opportunity I have, I will be getting out there to see it. I know Tony hasn't watched it yet. He's still waiting on me. So we're going to go. We just got to line it up.
Yeah, it sounds like we need to set up a romantic evening.
Yes. Well, I already had one this week. We'll talk more about that.
Okay. All right.
All right. So what else do you got?
Okay. So, I found on pastemagazine.com that they have, as soon as I can scroll the top here. Oh, here we go. The 101 best movies streaming on Netflix 2014. So I'm just going to highlight some of these movies, and some of these are classics. Like at number one, they have Raging Bull.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Classic that I have not seen.
Yeah. Well, me neither. Fargo at 3, Apocalypse Now 5, and I'll skip through some of these. Some of these were kind of surprising that they're either that high or that low. Reservoir Dogs at 14.
Okay. Have you seen it?
Yes, I've seen it. I enjoyed it, but yeah. I mean, Memento at 18, that should definitely be above Reservoir Dogs. But that, yeah, maybe that's just me.
You know, I was meh. I was meh on that one.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
A lesser-known movie at number 25, The Station Agent. Indie movie starring Peter Dinklage.
Oh.
Funny story of
a
reclusive man who moves into an abandoned train depot. Avengers at 26. It's really not, you know, I kind of knew this already, but God, there's a crap load of movies on instant streaming for Netflix. I don't need to go to the movies because I've only watched about 20 of the ones that are on 100. Mud is 57. Another great performance by McConaughey in that movie that came out in 2013. So, maybe I might have to put this on the Backseat Producers Facebook.
There you go.
So, all right. So I'm sure that people suffered through that long enough. All right. So, Art, what do you got next?
All right. I have one more thing. So we were talking pre-show about the leaks coming from episode 7.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw this story, and first I was throwing it out, and then I dug into it a little deeper. Star Wars Episode 7 suddenly has a massive problem with leaked photos. And it talks about Abrams' Star Wars set has already been exposed twice by someone on a Blockbuster site who has a direct line to the gossip website TMZ. A bunch of pictures getting out. And they say, which begs the question, what the hell is happening on the set of J.J. Abrams' Star Wars Episode 7? We all have enjoyed writing at length about the director's mystery box approach to filmmaking, cutting corners to protect secrets from media members and fans. He has said on record that he'd like to protect secrets pertaining to Episode 7 for diehard Star Wars fans, but so far he's failing. Production is just now underway. Photos from J.J. Abrams' set are leaking like a busted faucet. Fans so far have been thrilled by the unofficial peeks at work in progress, blah, 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 blah. And it says, is J.J. Abrams concerned? This seems to go against everything he has wanted to do with his productions in the past. But he has said with regards to Star Wars that he'd like to be a little bit more open regarding his initial venture into George Lucas's universe because he knows how important this franchise and all of these films are to fans. So, like I was saying to you before, I think he's letting things out. I really do. I think he's purposely letting things out to kind of gauge reactions.
It seems like to me that a directive to be a little more loose with what's going on is coming from higher than him.
Oh, maybe.
Just because
I could see that as well.
There is a huge framework above him, as opposed to when he was doing Star Trek, he was probably
right
at the top of the food chain.
Yeah.
Because Paramount was probably saying, you know, we trust you. Whereas
do
he,
something.
Yeah.
Get this thing going.
Right.
Yeah. Whereas
right.
This one is like, we don't need you. This thing will make money no matter who does it. So, yeah, I could see that.
Yeah. And then it seems like that we've heard about every casting that they've done. Seems like pretty quickly. So, yeah. One side note. Did I talk about the puppets?
No, this article talks about some of the pictures that came out and talks about the giant puppets. I have not actually followed the link and seen any of the pictures yet.
Okay, the one that so, I saw, and I saw this on at midnight, where they were losing their crap over the fact that there was a practical puppet
right
behind JJ, you know, because he filmed that commercial for the donate to UNICEF to, you know, win a visit to the set and that kind of stuff. And in the background, this alien just walks, you know, behind him.
Okay.
And they're saying, you know, it's a puppet. They're going to have, you know, they're going to do the puppets like they did in the original Star Wars. And, you know, does this portent that they're going to have CG light for the movie? Not gonna.
Oh,
have,
I see what you mean.
Yeah,
I mean,
so they're not gonna have, you know, in every shot of the movie that, you know, 80% of the characters are all CG in every shot, or
right
something like that. If you've ever watched the Phantom Menace, behind the scenes or the special features, there's a scene where all the guys are standing around and they have the storyboards for like the first 100 shots, and George comes in with a pen, and I think it was red and blue, and he just marks, you know, real CG, and he just, you know, a couple minutes just goes through each one.
Right.
So yeah, you know, I'm remembering that, you know, JJ from day one had taken the Star Trek job, says, I am not a Star Trek fan, I am a Star Wars guy.
Right.
So whatever whatever problems I had with Star Trek, maybe he'll do okay with Star Wars. So I'm starting to feel a little more encouraged. At least from, in my view.
Right. Okay. Well, I enjoyed the Star Trek movie, so I wasn't really worried.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I had a much more fine tooth comb. Let's put it that way.
Which is perfectly fine.
Yeah. No. I'm not. It's not. Yeah. That's what, opinions. Everyone's got them. All right. Anything else, Art?
No, that's all I've got for news.
All right. Well, thank you for downloading and listening to this episode of Backseat Box Office. Go see a movie.
Good night, everybody.
And one last message. Remember that we are still accepting voicemail movie reviews for entries for the $25 Amazon gift card. Or if you end up with the highest listener score or tie for the highest listener score, you can get another entry into the hat for the contest. And I believe there are 4 weeks left, four-ish, depending on how the calendar lays out. So there's that. So we will catch you next time. So this is where we do post-show.
Yes, we're going to move into some post-show. Okay. We'll see if anybody makes it past the outro music.
Yeah, well, So what else is going on? So how are things on the gaming side?
Okay, well, that is, I mentioned, a little romantic little interlude this week. A friend of mine who started my Pathfinder game last Friday. And I have more gamers than I want to deal with. So I set a hard limit of 5. 5 players plus me, that's it. That's all I'm taking. And I gave first preference to all the guys who were coming to the board game group. And then I reached out to a couple other people, and it was a first come, first serve kind of a thing. So I had a guy who committed, a month and a half ago, and then I send the reminder text the week of, and he's like, I'm double booked. And I'm like, I'm really sorry to hear that. And he's like, well, don't be sorry. I said, no, I'm really sorry to hear that, because I'm going to try and fill that spot, because I want 5 people at the table.
Right.
And he's like, oh. I'm like, yeah, oh, so I'm very sorry. I'll let you know how this works out for you, but I'm going to move down the list because I have more players than I have spots. Well, fortunately for him, since it was so last minute, nobody else was able to make it. So I said, okay, well, nobody came. I ran it with 4, it was fine. It was no big deal. It was an upper limit of 5. I have to have 5 or it's not going to work. I'm going no more than 5. So I'm like, it's no big deal. I'm like, put it on the calendar. Don't screw it up again, because next time I will not be, I will fill the spot, because I will have 2 weeks to do it. And even if I can't, I won't be inviting you back. But so ran Pathfinder for the first time. Not for the first time. Well, for the first time for a new guy in the group, a guy named Ryan. He's actually been coming and playing board games. And he was asking, he's like, what do you guys know about Pathfinder? I'm like, yeah, Pathfinder, we play it all the time. He's like, oh, because I want to get into it, He's like, what should I buy? Should I buy the beginner box? Should I buy the main book? I'm like, well, what do you want to do? I'm like, do you want to play? Are you looking to run it with some of your other friends who game? He's like, well, I'm thinking about running it with some of my other friends who game. He's like, well, I'm not sure. I'm like, well, if you want to play, I'll just run a game here, and you don't have to buy anything. I said, if you want to run it for your friends, buy the beginner box, just because you're new and they'll be new, and the beginner box is the way to go. I said, but if you just want to play, I said, I'll rent something here. So he was number one on the list because he was the impetus for me running, because I had actually moved away from running a game. I was just doing the board games on every other week. And so we get done, and I'm like, so what'd you think? And he's like, you know, it's everything I thought it was going to be, and I really enjoyed it. I'm like, good. I'm like, so our every other Friday group is off to a good start.
Okay.
But all that just to say that Mike, you know, felt so bad for missing out. He said, he called me up and he's like, or he texted me and he's like, you know, how do you feel about getting a drink maybe after work? I'm like, yeah, sure, that'd be fine, you know, and what are you thinking? So we set up a day, and just yesterday, we went to the local public house, Elgin Public House, which is, I did not know this, but I was doing some looking into it. That's where pub comes from, public house.
Hmm.
It's short for public house,
right.
And it's just a place where people went to meet and usually have a drink as well. But the food is great. The beer selection is top notch. I mean, just a bunch of craft brews. There's got to be 40 or 50 different beers that they have on tap. Or available. So had a beer, had a little food, and we played a game called Hive. I don't know if you're familiar with, but I will say that it is currently free this week on the iOS. It's a very nice implementation. So if you're using an iPhone, have an iPad or any of that, or if you like kind of abstract strategy games. It's similar to chess. You have a number of unique pieces, and each piece has its own way of moving, and you kind of build the board as you go. The pieces are hexagon-shaped, and when you lay down a piece, you know, you lay down a piece, and somebody else lays down a piece, and their piece has to be touching your piece, and all the pieces have to be continuous, and every piece moves differently. It's a really interesting game, but it plays really quickly. I think we played a game in, like, 15, 20 minutes.
Hmm.
And the implementation looks really nice. So if you're running an iOS device, go check it out because it's free right now.
Cool.
So how about yourself? Oh, wait, I have one other thing. So we're doing the prize for the contest. And, you know, I know you took on the you know, doing first prize, you know, I offered as well. And I was thinking about offering to do the prize for this coming drawing that's coming up. And then I thought about it, and I thought, you know, you might fight me on it because, you know, you said it was your idea and that's why you wanted to pay it, blah, 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 blah. So instead, I have purchased the DC deck building game, and it is going to be on its way to you probably tomorrow.
Oh, that's very nice of you, Art. Thank you.
Yes, I think you'll really enjoy it, and even if you don't, well, it's something. So,
yeah, so. I'm not married to, you know, ponying up for the gift card every season. So,
right.
But I appreciate what you did, and I'm totally fine with it.
Okay, so there you go, and that's what I've got. Yeah, I think that's everything.
We played another night of Star Wars Saga Edition. We're on episode or chapter 9 of Dawn of Destiny, I think?
Dawn of Defiance.
Or Dawn of Defiance. I always blow it.
You do it.
Always Dawn blow of it. Defiance. Yeah. So, and we got our asses kicked.
Oh.
Yeah, you know, it was just one of those nights where I cannot roll worth a crap.
Oh yeah.
I was definitely Team Stork from Happy Jacks.
Yes.
But it kind of turned around towards the end. But I don't. We were down a man because one of the players was going on a cruise the next day.
Ah, okay.
And so he didn't want to be up late. Even though their flight didn't leave until 3 p.m. But anyways, I'm not going to judge. But
that was wife aggro.
Yeah, well, you know. But we did mention that you're going to be on a cruise ship, We all know what happened on War of the Dead, so just, you know, I'd be a little prepared.
Yeah. right. And what character was he? Like, what character were you missing for the...
He is a 8-foot cat, some cat race that he found in some peripheral book for Star Wars Saga Edition, and he is a privateer.
Privateer,
Nick loves exotic weapons, so he's got he's got like a vibro something, and he's got, you know, his blaster rifle that... He's got a heavy blaster rifle that he can shoot one-handed. You know, one of those things. I am the ace pilot / gunslinger, and we have another player that just recently started playing, even though he hasn't played for about 6 months. He is a Zabrak soldier. Zabrak was the race that had the little horns.
Darth Maul. Darth Maul is a Zabrak.
I don't know. I'll go with it. Yeah.
No. Trust me. Darth Maul is a Zabrak. Horns.
Okay. And then
get your internets up there, buddy. I am the Star Wars nerd.
What's the what's the planet of the Zabrak called?
I don't know. You got me on that one.
Just because they went to that home planet in Clone Wars, and I thought it was called something different. But according to Wikipedia, you are correct.
Yes, sir.
Oh, great. So.
But I could not tell you. Could not tell you what their homeworld is. And I haven't watched Clone Wars in... Actually, no, I have not finished Clone Wars. I only just started it. So...
Iridonia, according to what?
I believe you.
Interesting. Okay. And then we have a Jedi Knight who is a Keldor. So the guys with the mask.
Yeah.
They're the ones that have the mask.
Those guys are pretty cool. I almost, the last game I played in, I was tossed up. I was almost going to play a Keldorian.
Yeah. I think I told everybody if we play Star Wars again, I want to be a Watto.
Okay.
I want to do, I mean, just for the wings. How many are you going to be in a non-super game and you can still fly, but yeah. So we're still not sure, but it's looking very likely that War of the Dead will be next, which means I got to get off my rear end and make my character.
Yes. You're not doing the pre-gens?
We're not doing the pre-gens.
Okay.
The other two characters is that we have a minor league hockey player, and then we have a nurse.
Okay.
An attractive nurse that somehow has some... that she's not a nurse anymore, but we don't know why.
Lost a patient. Yeah.
I don't know about that, but anyway.
Yeah.
So I'm vacillating between a high school science teacher or a high school principal. Because I thought of the principal when we saw that Dennis Haskins, Mr. Belding, was in A Million Ways to Die in the West.
Okay, very cool.
So, all right.
I didn't tell you actually what I ran for Pathfinder. It was a short module called Weeby Goblins. And so I did use pregens for my game, and all the characters are goblins. A little goblin tribe getting sent out to just get into mischief and trouble and recover some fireworks. And they had a lot of fun with it. It's not a con game, but it is just a very short module. It was one of the Pathfinder Free RPG Day modules.
Okay.
It was released back in 2011. So, and I actually have Weeby Goblins 2, which I'm going to run for next Friday. Right, and then after that, I ran those because I knew they'd be short. I could get them done in one night. They have pre-generated characters because Ryan is new. And then now that he's got a feel, a little bit of a feel for the system, then we'll walk him through character creation and we'll go from there. So that's why I did it that way.
Very good. All right. So, what do you want to do with our secret clue?
Okay. Let's.
Here's the thing. We could leave it for voicemailers, or. See, the thing is, I'm thinking, like, you know, because Kugron, he picks every week, but he never leaves a voicemail.
Right. I like that. Call the voicemail. Call the voicemail, and the secret word is post-show. So you have to say, I'm calling in, I'm leaving the secret word, post-show. I listened to the post show. What do you think?
All right. Sounds good to me.
And if while you're there, leaving your message, you know, maybe you leave your picks at the same time. Maybe. You don't have to, but maybe you do. More content for the show. Or maybe you leave a review. I think that's what I'm going to have Brittany do. Because she was interested, and she's like, how do I leave the voicemail? Okay, what should I talk about? Well, talk about the movie. Just don't give away the ending. She's like, oh, yeah, I think you can do that.
All right. Well, we'll talk next week.
Yes. Oh. We should leave the number.
Oh, yes. All right. Leave
a quick reminder for the number. It is 618-207-4794.
Or you can go to backseatproducers.com and click on the Call Me button, and it will call you.
Absolutely.
All right.
Go out. Do that.
All right.